In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, we so often remind ourselves, at least we should, and we are reminded by others, with reason, of the danger of losing our salvation through our sins. But do we remember as well, so as not to despair or become discouraged, that God truly loves us, that the love of God for us is like he himself, without end. The Savior of the world, whom, according to the prediction of the prophet Isaiah, men were one day to see on this earth, has already come. We have not only seen him conversing among men, we have also seen him suffering and dying for the love of us. Let us, then, this morning, consider the love which we owe to Jesus Christ, at least through gratitude for the love which he bears to us. Christ, says St. Augustine, came on earth that men might know how much God loves them. He has come and to show the immense love which this God bears us. He has given himself entirely to us by abandoning himself to all the pains of this life, and afterwards to scourges, to the thorns, and to all the sorrows and insults which he suffered in his passion, and by offering himself to die, abandoned by all on the cross. Our Lord could have saved us without dying on the cross, even without any suffering, or if he had only wanted to suffer a little bit, one drop of his blood would be sufficient for our redemption. Even just a prayer offered to his eternal Father would have been enough, because on account of his divinity, his prayer is of infinite value and therefore would be sufficient for the salvation of the world, even of 1,000 worlds, even of an infinite number of worlds. But, says St. John Chrysostom, what was sufficient for redemption was not sufficient for love. To show how much he loved us, he wished to shed not only a part of his blood, but the entirety of it by dint of torments. Greater love than this no man hath, that a man lay down his life for his friends, our Lord told his disciples. To show his love for us, what more could the Son of God do than die for us? What more can one man do for another than give his life for him? If the most vile man on this earth had done for you what Jesus Christ had done in dying through pain on a cross, could you remember his love for you and not love him in return? St. Francis of Assisi appeared unable to think of anything but the passion of Jesus Christ. In thinking of it, he continually shed tears, so that by his constant weeping, he became nearly blind. Being one day found weeping and groaning at the foot of the crucifix, he was asked the cause of his tears and lamentations. He replied, "I weep over the sorrows and ignominies of my Lord. And what makes me weep still more is that the men for whom he has suffered so much live in forgetfulness of him." Should a doubt ever enter your mind that Jesus Christ loves you, raise your eyes and look at him hanging on the cross. St. Thomas of Villanova said that the cross to which he is nailed, the internal and external sorrows which he endures, and the cruel death which he suffers for you, are convincing proofs of the love which he bears you. St. Paul says that the love which Jesus Christ has shown in condescending to suffer so much for our salvation should excite us to his love more powerfully than the scourging, than the crowning with thorns, the painful journey to Calvary, the agony of 3 hours on the cross, being hit, having his face spit on, and all the other injuries which the Savior endured. According to St. Paul, the love which Jesus has shown us not only obliges, but in a certain manner forces and constrains us to love a God who has loved us so much. For the charity of Christ presseth us. On this text, St. Francis de Sales says, we know that Jesus, the true God, has loved us so as to suffer death, and even the death of the cross for our salvation. Does not such love, as it were, put us under a press to force from them, Does not such a love put our hearts, as it were, under a press to force from them love by a violence which is stronger in proportion as it is more amiable, that is, as it is more lovable? During his life, Jesus said, I have a baptism wherewith I am to be baptized, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? St. Ambrose explains that in this passage, our Lord expresses the unrest produced in his soul as long as the work of his redemption is not accomplished, and the burning desire of arriving at this day, the day of his death. Thus, on the night before his passion, he said, with desire have I desired to eat this pasch with you before I suffer. St. Lawrence Justinian says, we have seen wisdom become foolish through an excess of love. We have, he says, seen the Son of God become, as it were, a fool through the excessive love which he bore to men. Such too was the language of the Gentiles when they heard the apostles preaching that Jesus Christ suffered death for the love of men. But we, says St. Paul, preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews indeed a stumbling block, and unto the Gentiles foolishness. Who, they exclaimed, can believe that a God, most happy in himself, and who stands in need of no one, should take human flesh and die for the love of men who are his creatures? This would be to believe that a God became foolish for the love of men. It appears folly, says St. Gregory, that the author of life should die for men. But whatever infidels may think or say, it is of faith that the Son of God has shed all his blood for the love of us, to wash away the sins of our souls, who hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.